The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve start meeting in just a few minutes on a decision due tomorrow on one more interest rate increase for the year. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump, keying off a Wall Street Journal editorial today, urged the Federal Reserve not to raise interest rates again, telling them in a tweet to, quote, feel the market. Don't just go by meaningless numbers. Numbers are not meaningless, but beyond that, is the market turbulence of late a good reason not to raise rates closer to normal tomorrow? Economist David Kelly is a chief global strategist. He's at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, it gets people's attention when the Dow falls more than 2%, as happened yesterday, and it's down quite a bit for this month so far. But should that play into the Fed's decision that's probably coming tomorrow?
Well, I think they should pay attention to it, but I think primarily they need to watch the economy itself. And what the economy is doing is it's slowing down, but it's not stalling. We think the economy is going to slow down from about 3% growth to 2% growth next year. But if you think about it, you know, in the past when we've had recessions, it's because we've had a huge boom, like in housing or technology. That's not going on right now. And if you don't get a boom, you're not really likely to get a bust. So we think the economy is pretty stable. And because of that, the Federal Reserve should continue to move rates to a normal level.
I mean, that's the key to understanding this, right, from your perspective, a normal level. It's not that they're raising rates to slow things down. It's their argument is they're just trying to get closer to neutral.
Absolutely. I mean, the Federal Reserve has been extraordinarily patient and extraordinarily slow. I mean, right now, the federal funds rate, the key rate they look at, is actually lower than the short-term interest rate has been 80% of the time before the financial crisis. So, in fact, the Federal Reserve is very easy, and frankly, I think would actually help confidence if they continue to do that.
David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you so much for this.
Anytime.
How can economic security still grip in America when unemployment is at record lows? Some of it has to do with who counts as employed, people who don't participate in the labor force by working or looking. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been reviewing the literature on this for us. He joins us from St. Paul.
So the trend is toward a falling participation rate among the 25 the 54-year-old age group. And the core of the issue involves the women's labor force participation rate. It's not doing well.
It keeps going down year after year.
You know, the story of the women's labor movement and women coming into the paid job market, I mean, that was a story. And then it peaked around 2000. And since 2000, the growth has slowed. Then it reversed. Now, recently, it's been picking up a little bit. But when you look at women's labor force participation rate, it is not good.
It's so interesting because it was this alternate reading there for some years, which is all the women piling into the labor force with, you know, changes to culture and society was putting pressure on the men. But you're saying the women are no longer seeking jobs for some reason.
The Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco came up with a very clever test to illustrate this. So Canada, our neighbor to the north, not that much different. And so they looked at 1997 in Canada, the U.S., this age group, 25 to 54 years old, women, the labor force participation rate, David, was essentially identical. Now, you go to last year. There was an 8 percentage point gap. If you want to talk about an untapped resource, that's an untapped resource.
But why is this happening? I mean, some of it is that there are always people that, for whatever reason, don't want to work or want to focus on the family. But it also may have something to do with support for women who would otherwise consider working.
Yeah, I think this is the key point. We're the only major industrialized nation that doesn't have paid maternity leave. And our family-friendly labor market policies, they lag much of the rest of the world.
So if those policies were changed, more women came back into the labor force, that would boost household income, and you might see less economic insecurity.
And a lot of economic growth. Because as you mentioned, it's women's participation in the labor market that really boosted household income since the 1970s. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that household incomes have become more fragile, people are more concerned, we're seeing stagnation. So to get this economy growing strong, more women in the labor market.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell talking to us from St. Paul. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. Don't say that very often. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at Candida. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and to get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism that you trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Drug and alcohol use is down among teenagers. It's now at its lowest point in the last 25 years. An annual federally funded survey out of the University of Michigan finds about 1 in 6 high school seniors reported getting drunk in the past month. That's down from a high of 1 in 3 in the 2000s. Now, the study does show one spike upward, all the vaping. The use of electronic cigarettes has nearly doubled since last year. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
Offering fruity flavors and camouflaged to look like, say, thumb drives, e-cigarettes are appealing to teenagers, says Yale tobacco researcher Suchitra Krishnan-Sarin.
E-cigarettes seem to be the first tobacco product that many teens are using nowadays. And there's also concern that teens then move on
to get hooked on the burning kind. 1 in 5 high school seniors reported vaping in the past month in the University of Michigan survey. The FDA announced new restrictions on flavored e-cigarette sales last month. David Levy at Georgetown University's Cancer Center says we should be concerned about teens vaping.
At the same time, those people that are smoking, if we can encourage them to move to e-cigarettes, that should be an important part of policy.
There are two things public health experts agree on. E-cigarettes are almost certainly less harmful than smoking, and they're too new to know their long-term health effects. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And the price of crude oil is down a lot, 2.4%, $48.56 a barrel. U.S. fracking output is running high, and traders feel production cuts by other oil-producing countries aren't enough to compensate. This is also a story about fears the world economy could be slowing down, especially in China. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.